that way I don't forget that. Brother Leonard, if you want to just start, then, you know, you can take it away.
Okay. How you doing, brothers and sisters in our black community of Black Wallets Matter? So anyway, I know. So I'm just speaking to everybody. So tonight's topic, and there's no right or wrong answer, is what you think is most important. So the question is, which four major components do you feel are absolutely necessary to build a self-sustaining black community from scratch? And whatever four that you pick, I need you to only speak about a minute on each one, so we can have enough time to go along with the members. But again, which four major components do you feel are absolutely necessary to build a self-sustaining black community from scratch? And that's in your opinion.
All right, hold on.
And then we'll go from there. Who's in the queue?
I'm going to put it in Q&A. Go ahead, Brother Vaughn. Hop in there, brother. Hop in there. There you go. There you go.
What's going on, brothers? How y'all doing today?
Peace.
Like for me, and it's crazy because actually, and this is, I'm about to start this next week. I'm about to make my neighborhood, my community, start a construction company, and
nice.
It's coming from the people in the community. And we're going to do it. We're going to start it together. We're going to, you know what I mean? We're going to, all the kinks that got to get worked out, we're going to work them out together. You know what I mean? Because it's what we do. And it's a lot of people in my community. And, like, for real, it's a master at each trade. So, it's like, I'm starting this right now. And y'all asking this question, it was like, this fits right into what I'm about to dive into. Like, right next week, I'm going to be diving into it. But, One, I say communication, which I feel like is the most important, because without communication, then you got a bunch of people in your community that's on different pages and thinking differently and thinking different ways. And some people have expectations which causes attitudes and drama because the expectation ain't being met, but the next person ain't even on the same page as you. So I feel like communication is probably the biggest one for me. Like, because that's the only way you're going to be able to get the community together. Two, I got funding. And like I said, I'm about to make my community start a construction company, because I feel like what we've been saying, even in our, you know, with our meetings, as far as Black Wallets Matter goes, we need something to back what we got going on. We need something that's like a consistent, like money that coming in, and we can say, well, we got this, and this is our backing, and this comes from here, and we can do a whole lot of other stuff. So I feel like if I can get this started with this construction company, it'll fund a community in a lot of different avenues and matters and ways. Three, I said leadership, because it's a lot of people who feel like they're leaders, but really they really don't have what it takes, because it's more personal for them. Like, when you're a leader, it's really not about you at all. Like, most of what you're doing has nothing to do with, it's not for you. It's for the masses. And it's like, when you got a real leader, like, if he don't know that, he gonna lead y'all down a path that's really, like, for his benefit or his, like whatever they trying to do. So I feel like we need, like, real leadership, people that really, like, feel like they're doing this for the community, not for me, not for I can get a gain, not for I can make my company get stronger and bigger and I can make more money off of it, but to make it so that everybody, my whole community, and then leave a blueprint so that the next can do it and the next can do it, so we all can be, you know, really, like, on a different path and build. And then I got open-minded. And I say that because it's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. And if you ain't open-minded to things, you're going to meet some people that you ain't going to understand. And you're going to go through some things that you ain't going to understand why. And if you're not open-minded, like, those things will make you close off and stop even trying to deal or do the things that are necessary to get you where you're trying to go. So those were my four things: communication, funding, leadership, and open-minded.
Very good, very good, very good.
Yeah, that is
excellent.
Yeah, you always come with something that I'm not even. Well, no, usually you come with the stuff that I'm thinking, but now, yeah, you just went a total other different way from what I was thinking. I'm loving it. But you're right though, because if you don't have that the mindset and those intangibles, then you know. All right, bro.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. That we're on the same page on a couple of things. I had construction company was my pick for, and then bank, credit unions, and then I had politicians that could fall under leadership. Yeah. And then I had our own community security companies that we need to secure and patrol our own neighborhoods, patrol and foot. So those are some good points you have. So that's all.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
Who we have next?
Sister
Mai
is up next.
Hey, Sister
Mai. How you doing, Sister
Mai? Hold on. I didn't unmute. I still got Brother Vaughn. Thank you, Brother Vaughn. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Sister.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I like those responses, too, and I was kind of on a different page as well. I was thinking more tangible things. So my four are a bank, a grocery store, a school, and then a community of like-minded middle class to upper class in terms of income, and just like-minded in terms of their thought of progressing the Black community at large as could the residents in that community to work in and outside of it. So do I need to elaborate?
Just a little bit. Well, you got a minute for each one.
Okay, bank. And then all of these are owned and operated by us. So inside the bank, I think we need a bank so that we can have funding for our community and loans home loans and all that, as well as work in it, investments and all of that. So to be a Black-owned bank. Grocery store, so that we can kind of control our own food, and it employs a lot of people as well as a bank. But a grocery store really provides a lot of employment, and we can ensure that we have healthy and good quality food in the neighborhood. A school, K-12, so that we can educate our children the way that we know that we need to be educated, and produce leaders and other good citizens of the community, and then the like-minded community people, residents, because we're saying starting from scratch. I looked at it like this is a template, and I feel like in order to do it successfully, everything takes money, and you need like-minded people. And so people need to be in the community that are earning the money, because for one, that already means that you have a certain caliber in the neighborhood in terms of the home ownership and the upkeep of the neighborhood. It'll be a community that people would want to stay in, you know, to live in, and then they have the resources to continue to build up that community by opening up additional businesses, you know, whether it be hair salons, all the other things that we need, you know, inside of the community as well to make it self-sustaining, the theater, you know, everything else. Basically kind of build up like what Black Wall Street was. But I think this initial template should be or needs to be started by a community of people who already have, assets and things to bring to build with, and then produce that template for other communities. That's probably more than a minute, right?
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the part about the like-minded people or community, because where I could see where that would constantly keep people re-energized and create a momentum, because when people are able to get energy from other people, such as we do, that creates a very positive environment, and then with the resource centers or the schools, and allow the kids to see that as a template of always being positive in a positive environment. You know, kind of like the way the movie Black Panther was. There was a lot of positive energy with them, among themselves. Very good, very good, very good.
All right. Thank you.
Lou, you got anything to add, brother?
I'm thinking about what she said. So this is similar to the last time when we spoke. Remember when I came back, guys, and we were talking, and I told you about that town, the town in South Carolina?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right. So they actually have a program that they're launching. They're inviting people to move their own land or whatever it is. They will provide the work to, like, so it's basically you're buying land, and then they will provide, like, all the stuff to farm it. And then what they want to do is take a percentage of, like, whatever you pay them or whatever you allocate to start feeding the kids of that place. So remember, I told you that place is pretty poor, pretty depressed. So it's, like, almost to that point where they're trying to get complementary investments or get other people outside to invest in it and share in the, you know, share in the windfall so that they can feed their kids. And so thinking about that realistically have a black community. If we found black retirees, right? So we go and we find like take this town that I'm talking about, right? So it has nice bones and it's spaced out, and I mean it's a lot of room to build, and it has like that main street, right? So it's an old town, you know, it's an old town with a main strip or whatever. If we were to create, like, some of these nice, like, retirement communities, like, where I am or whatever, and they don't cost a lot because, you know, people that are, you know, in those active communities, they need a smaller home, but they want to be able to move around and do things. We could get a bunch of black retirees there. They're getting pensions and money from other places from, you know, out the country. So they have the economics to pump into the community, and then now you can start opening up some of the necessary services that they would need, and that's how it can recycle. Because remember what I told you before, Sister Mai, with Black Wall Street. So everyone is, you know, like most people are like really all hyped up about what it was, and like, oh, we did this ourselves, we did this. That was a byproduct of the oil boom. That dude, I forgot his name, OG or whatever his name was, he made his money from the oil boom working with white people. So he pulled the money from another.
Well, that's all I was saying. People need to be like well-to-do already to start with, or at least middle class, earning income, bringing it into the community.
Right. So that's what he was able to do. And so something like that, right? But then the other thing, too, you got to remember, so wherever this place would be, right, it's not going to be in a major metropolitan area, right, because we're not going to have that money to start off. So it would probably be somewhere rural or someplace that where there aren't enough jobs. So you have to have the income coming from outside, you know, right? So if you take the average middle-class person, they're usually working some type of government job or some kind of service job. And they really can't up and relocate. They're not doing remote work. So you have to have people that are able to relocate to the place that you need, and then, you know, and then their money just comes, you know, they get mailbox money. So if they get mailbox money, now they can go and provide, and then now you have a basis of an economy. But I don't want to drag on too long. I just wanted to add on. Thank you so much, sister.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Sister Rhonda.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? All right.
Good. How you doing?
All right, Brother Leonard. I was thinking of the four major components. I was thinking of people as far as in the infrastructure of the components.
Okay.
When we're dealing with people, in the community, like you would have to convince people that they can make a difference. It's hard to have black people understand that they can be stakeholders in their own communities. That would be one thing, to convince them how to work together and thinking out what they can do together. Because they just not going to go up and get together and do a construction thing together, because one is going to say, well, I don't know this, or I don't know that. So to think out and convince people that they are stakeholders in wherever they may live at.
That's good.
Help them to make contact with each other and begin to trust each other. And I was thinking of it in the opposite direction. I see everybody else was thinking of it in like banks and businesses and stuff. But before we can get to that level, we have to change the mindset of our people, especially the younger people. Where I'm at, there's a lot going on that isn't correct. We got a lot of corruption, and I know there's corruption all over nowadays, but it's really en masse here, because I live outside the city in a county, and there's a lot of stuff here that has to be done before they can actually start thinking about running a bank, running a construction firm, or something of that nature. So that's why I thought in that vein, and trying to teach the people to reach out to build coalitions.
I like that when they start,
because I talked to some young people, because my baby daughter is 29, and she speaks to some of the young people, and their mindset, like I said, I'm out the city, but this is an old town, and the older people really don't want to relinquish anything to the younger people. We have a younger mayor here, like 35, and he wants to do things, but there's a lot of other stuff that has to be done before you can move forward. The mind frame has to change, I think, in some of our people, especially some of the young people, because I don't mean no harm, but some of the older people have conditioned them to think that everything they did was right, and we can't do that. We have to know that things change and move on. I'm getting off, but like I said, the younger people have to be changed also. Their mind have to be changed, because they'll peek at things and they'll say, yes, I see your mom, she got real smart friends. They'll tell my daughter, so why don't they get on so we can talk? They don't want to do that. They're not ready yet. So the coalition building of people and the thinking out what they need to do for themselves. That's where I was headed with people. I wasn't to the business part yet, because where I'm at, they're not ready. I mean, we've had a lot of things that go on here that aren't correct socially.
Right, but Sister Shauna, you know, Sister Rhonda. See, that's why we're asking the question. We all have different views, and at the end of the day, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. It's going to need the people and the mindset. And as you mentioned, with the millennials and the centennials, we still have to take them by the hand, because it's important for us to look at them as a kid. If you have a 1-year-old kid or a 3-year-old kid, you have them by the hand. You know, if you get to a corner of a street, if you let them continue to walk, they'll walk right in front of the car. It's you that has to protect them, and it's you that has to tell them, pay attention to the light. All of these things we have to do. However, we have to be consistent and vigilant in how we're communicating and how we're conducting. But those are very good points. I see the fact that you mentioned the younger generation, because they are the future. And right, they have to share that same passion that you have eventually.
Right. Thank you, Brother Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, Sister Rhonda. And we have Sister Lola and then Brother Leon.
Shoot. Am I on?
Yes, you are, sister.
I believe so. I hear you clearly.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening to you too, sister.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, my four components to, you know, have a sustainable community. The first one is banking, of course. I think we need to put our money where it's going to, in the long run, benefit us. You know, we all have been talking about that and we know about that. But I think banking, definitely, because we need to know, I think we need to know or be better educated on where our money is going and, you know, our money working for us instead of someone else without our best interest in it. The second one that I have is education. You know, of course, that's key. And those, you know, affordable education.
Uh-huh.
For those who are interested in higher learning. And it goes, that kind of ties into my third one, which is employment opportunities. I think they need to be out there for both the educated and for the uneducated. Just the fact of the matter is not everyone does well in a school or classroom environment. However, have a skill set that they just need to have an opportunity to show someone and not just be completely X'd out of the, you know, the pool simply because they're not educated. I think there should be opportunities for people to actually prove themselves, even if they didn't thrive in an education environment. And my fourth, what I think would benefit our community is our own policing. I think, you know, the Indian reservations, they mete out their own justice. It's not what happens on the res, it stays on the res, and they determine what happens to their people. I think that is important as well. I don't think we should be calling outside influences to come and figure out what is just and what is not just for our people, because we already know we're how many times more likely to receive more punishment than the next person, than the next race. You know, I think that is very important as well. Those are the four things that I have to offer.
And those were four good ones. And it's interesting, as we listen to everybody, you begin to see the very thing that Lou envisioned with this whole thing, and the key word is like-minded people. Because mm-hmm. so far, each person that's had something to say, there's more than one person that feels that same way and shares that same passion. We just need to find 2,000 more people to think like that. But those are very good points. Excellent points.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lou?
Yeah, I'm good, brother. I'm good.
Okay.
Sister Lola, let me thank you for contributing, sister.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And then Brother Leon. So we have quite a few new callers on the line. For all the brothers and sisters who have jumped on and it's like, you know, you're in the middle of the call. Essentially what we are, could you read the question again, Brother Leonard, for me, please?
Okay. Hold on a second. The question is, which four major components do you feel are absolutely necessary to build a self-sustaining Black community from scratch? There are no right or wrong answers, so call in and let us know what you think.
All right. So for all the brothers, I see Brother Bent, Sister Cynthia, Brother Will, Brother Will L. So, you know, guys, press *6 and give us your opinion. All right, Brother Leon, you're live, brother.
Okay, okay, thank you. Glad to be on, brothers and sisters. Yeah, I was looking at that.
How you doing, Brother Leon?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Just
good,
glad to
good,
be here.
All right.
Okay, I'm looking at that question. That was a is a strong question. So I had to kind of take it from myself, make it more of a people question. I try to look at what I can do as an individual, and so my 4 points were dealing with like respect through spirituality, reconnecting with the young, creating jobs, and starting a think tank. And now the first part, what I deal with, was say about God, is that the spirituality is just basically doing the Ten Commandments, respecting each other, not stealing, not killing, those type of things. That would bring respect. And with respect, that's really, that'll help us, that'd be like the glue to help us get where we're going. Then reconnecting with our young, well, that's something that is really important. I say reconnect with the young, have a real conversation, and hear what they need from us. Okay, now, just before I got on the call, my niece and her boyfriend, they both college students, and they were out on the patio. I went out there and I posed the question to them. And off the top of their head, they said, well, first thing is knowledge, history, job, and school. They said the knowledge that they want in history, want to just know the real history, know the truth about history. And on job, they say they want us as adults to have things that they can say go through, jobs we have created for them. And instead of school, they said the schools should be in a position where start academy schools and get kids, and when they're really young, get them to put them in school environments where they can say propel toward greater things. So instead of wait till they get to high school or junior high school, start them at the younger age where they say, you know, I can be there and have them reach for higher things. Now,
Stop grinning.
Okay. Get back to number two. So reconnecting with our young and having a real conversation, hear what they want from us, what they really need from us, and become so that they can become better adults and follow us. So what we're doing is say giving something for them to follow. That's what I was picking up. The third thing was creating jobs by pooling our smart money on cities and areas, like putting money together in cities and areas and turning those areas into a productive city or area for our people. To do that again and again. All we're doing is taking smart money and taking an area that's not productive and making it productive. The fourth part would be the think tanks, okay? We could say find markets that we can control, okay? And like that means markets that we can control, things like food, clothing, shelter, transportation, health. And what we'll do is like they work on how we can control it and do it. Like we have people qualified to build houses and different things. Well, we find those markets and identify those markets, and then so many people go after that. It could be in a community, like the brother said, or it could be at large, but identify the markets and go after that. And then have a system where as we spending our money, okay, we'd be intentional about 2 days a week of spending something that's going to go toward controlling those areas of food, clothing, shelter, transportation, and health. And that's kind of put it in a nutshell, but that's a great question. But I think just by working on ourselves first with those areas, well, that way that'll be the glue so that when somebody have a different idea or a different thought, we can say, okay, well, let's see we have something to agree on so we can work together. All right, brother, turn it back to you.
Thank you, brother. Brother,
very good.
Brother Leonard, you have anything you want to add?
No, I like what he was saying, especially there needs to be more people like Brother Leon talking to their children and asking them those questions because we can learn a lot. So I think that's outstanding that you took it to them because now you allow them to think. And a lot of times you put people in a certain environment so they'll know that they can do it. So if they live in that environment or they're a part of that environment, they say, okay, self-sustaining, well, maybe we can create that and be a part of that. But those are very good points.
When he just said, all right, so the thing that really stood out to me was the last component where he was saying, picking a market, right? So, you know, I'm waiting to talk about my, you know, my four components. I'll wait to the end. But, you know, food is definitely one of them. But the other thing is finding a particular market. So if we had, and when he was saying it, this just popped in my head, furniture, right? Household furniture and clothes and stuff like that, right? We, every single person needs furniture, it needs some kind of clothing or whatever. If we had, let's say we had one of these little communities and we would go and we would start with getting a furniture manufacturing facility, right? And then we go and we hire, right? Because you need a lot of labor to create furniture. And then now what we do is we go and we distribute catalogs and we put it on the internet. Now black folks all over the world, all over the country, they can order furniture from this little city. This little city right there can become the epicenter of something really, really great. Because now you can employ a lot of brothers and sisters. Now they need services, so like Sister Maya was saying, so they're going to need barbershops, beauty salons, grocery stores, gas stations, and all this other stuff because they now live in the city, and now they have the money. And then we can move into other generic type of products that don't really take, so as Sister Lola was saying, are basically skilled, people with trade skills. And in manufacturing is, I mean, that's really how this country, you know, how this country and basically all other countries, how they evolve, how they are able to sustain themselves, and what China is doing now. And if we were able to go back to something like that, find something specific to manufacture furniture. I'm looking at my cabinets. I'm looking at my tables. I'm looking at my DVD, racks and stuff like that. These are nothing but molds, and you put the wood in there, and then you freaking shellac it. I guess I don't know, like. I'm sure we could have a bunch of brothers and sisters sitting there, doing all this stuff. Then we would have the other brothers and sisters dealing with the logistics, which would be the transportation and the shipping of this thing. That would call, we take some small town, some small city, that would definitely be able to put a lot of brothers and sisters to work. So I definitely love the idea of finding a niche, a particular market or something, and then saying, let's dominate that, and then going all in on it. All right. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Yep, all right. Brother Leon, thank you. Sister Cynthia, you are live, sister. Hello?
Good evening, everyone.
Hello,
good evening.
How are you?
It's been a while since I've been on, but it sounds like you guys are still moving full steam ahead. I think that all the ideas that have been shared are very much needed. I think that in our community, we have opportunities that's enormous. I mean, because we're really not producing anything. So that's the opportunity. Everything that we need, we can do that. And I feel like finding our niche, whatever our strength is and your focus is, and you have the skill to do that, then that's what you should focus on. And I'll just say, for instance, I'll plug my son. He's a student at Tuskegee, and he truly believes in, sustainability, and he's been working really hard this year planning food, and finally it made it to the market. So he was able to see that all his hard work, as much work as it really was, because not many of our children are into farming. And so he was out there and, just putting all his blood, sweat, and tears into that soil. And when it produced the crop, and he was able to take that crop to the local store and market that, he was so excited about that, and I was too, because so much of what we receive in terms of food out here is not real food. We have to get back to producing our own food. And in the same vein, just as we plant in our seeds, we have to look at our children. We're planting our beautiful babies in these schools that are not nurturing them and giving them what they need to grow and to be productive. We need our own school system. Those are just two things that off the top of my head that I know that we could definitely benefit from, food and education. Starting, like the brother said, that he asked his children, what do you think? Definitely, we have to bring our children out of the schools. We see what's happening. We see that the schools are not producing what we need to continue to grow as a people. we need better education and definitely policing our own neighborhood. We have people in our neighborhood who don't even live there, who've never, they come from rural, wherever they come from, and they come and police us, and they don't have any qualms about pulling that trigger because they don't know us. They don't know the culture. They come from somewhere else, and that's a lot like the teachers that our children are running into in the classroom. So, you know, I'm just excited about, you know, what I'm hearing, and, you know, I will continue to support, you know, black businesses. I will, you know, just, I love being in this think tank with people who are of the same mind, and I just think it just, everybody does a little bit of what it is that they think needs to be done. We can make this thing happen, and that's all I have.
No, thank you, and you're absolutely correct, and it sent chills through me when you were telling me about your son with the food. And as you can see, as hard as it is very simple to solve this problem, our opportunity. And that would be, all we have to do is just come together. As you begin to see, it almost feels like we have to move into that community that Lou was talking about and start from scratch. But eventually, as time goes on, and we have more and more people join the call, more and more people become founding members, you'll start to see it, this momentum, and all of the seeds that you've planted, you'll start to see them blossom. And so I commend you on the feedback, and continue to support your son. That was great.
All right.
Thank you.
And then Sister Rhonda is in the queue. Yes, Sister Rhonda.
Yes, I'd just like to expound on what the sister just said about educating the children. When we do that, we need to, as black people, teach our children how to be advocates for themselves and for their community, as our social policies are changing rapidly and is not inclusive of these young people. And that's the part that really kind of gets to me, because they don't understand unless we have people that are talking to them, like the sister's talking to her son or her child, that lets them know that they have to be a part of this change. It's vital that they have to be an advocate for themselves and their community, or otherwise the whole thing is for nothing. That's all I have to say.
Good point. Okay. Very good point, Susan.
All right. Thank you, Sister Rhonda. All right, so there's no one in the queue, so I'll just share, you know, the four components that I think are essential. So the first thing, like I say, you know, like as Brother Vaughn started off, funding. We absolutely need funding. I think that the funding should come, it's not even I think. I know that the funding is going to have to come outside of that community, and then it has to go in. So thinking of the town, like I was telling you guys in South Carolina and Bishopville, if the local government is open to, or they have some programs, probably take advantage of some programs, go and, you know, tax auctions or whatever it is, and buy up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres, right? And then have some developers or whoever it is, some developers have them come in and mock up some homes or something like that, or even like a little resort, make it like a getaway or something like that, and then sell people access to those vacation homes or to those spots, so that way they can just come and visit, like come and enjoy a total black experience. So a lot of us probably won't be able to move there, but we definitely would love to go back and reminisce and actually make it like, you know, like Black Wall Street, quote unquote, a theme park, right? But what we can do is we could either sell tickets in advance or sell timeshares or whatever it is to get some more money. Because what we need to do with the other part of that money is we need to do like Brother Leon is and plant a flag in a particular industry. The two main industries that I know that we're going to need food and we're going to need energy if we're going to be totally self-sustaining. because, you know, you guys don't realize it, but electricity, gas, and all that stuff, and water or whatever, as soon as that stuff goes, man, your life just turns completely, totally upside down. I had some people try to take me camping. I took my ass back home because I'm not with it. But that you will realize, yeah, tried to sucker me to come out to some place they didn't have any utilities, there's no water running and none of that stuff. I was like, nah. So we're gonna need some food and energy, and we're gonna need that. And then so what did I tell? That's sports, the business, that. The last one, I do like the idea of having a collective mindset and things like that. But you know what? The government, our government, they kind of get us to do what they want us to do without even getting our buy-in, because it just becomes social norms. It becomes the bylaws or whatever. So, you know, so now I'm like up in the air on that one. Because it's like if you visit this place and it is the social norm to treat each other with respect and things like that, then you're going to fall in line. So then I would have to defer to something like education, but I don't want education for education's sake. I want education as an investment. I want education as an investment that's going to produce a return for the community. Right, because it makes no sense for us to go and educate these young black men and women, you know, figure what we're thinking. They leave the community. We've poured all those resources into them. They leave never to return. We get no return on investment, unless the community is making money hand over fist. The way that Black Wallets Matter was designed to, you know, which starting with, you know, the businesses and, you know, these income generating activities first, so that we could go and put the money into the community resource centers. That's the reason why we wouldn't really be getting a tangible return on the community resource centers. Those are just sunk costs. But I think in a self-sustaining city or town or whatever, we would need to make sure that we're getting a return on all of our, all the dollars that we invest immediately. So maybe security, like you said, brother, you know, with the policing and things like that, to keep the environment safe, because most black folks, the vast majority of us are peaceful. We're peace-loving people. We're really harmonious. We like to vibe out. It's just that we have, like, those tempers. We have that little chip on our shoulders, like, yo, don't mess with me. And so when you push us to that level, then that's when things can get crazy and out of hand. But I think if we all live in a harmonious environment and our disagreements are resolved in a peaceful way, I don't think that we would have really bad problems with crime and things like that. But, you know, you just never know. So that is my piece, brother.
Those are good components. Those are very good components. And so as we listened, I think there was, was it about five or six of us that spoke? I couldn't remember. Or seven?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How many people were on the call that spoke? Was it a total of seven or six? I couldn't remember.
I don't really remember.
But my point being is with the people that did speak, I don't think there was more than 10 things that we were different on, far as the components necessary to build a self-sustaining community. So it tells you that we are like-minded in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, there's no one else in the queue, brother, so what do you want to do? It's your call. Hello? Brother
Lee? I'm here. Unless somebody wants to get back in the queue, I would encourage all the members to try to encourage more people to get on the call, and especially the younger generation, because it's great that we're all on the call, the founding members, but we need to continue to build this thing. So we need to advocate more membership collectively.
No, we have more people on the call now. We have people that come on the call now, but the thing about it, though, in terms of going out, recruiting, advocating, and stuff like that. So when I speak to people about Black Wallets Matter, about, you know, what it is that we're trying to do, how we're trying to build it, the concept, it's complex. And without like a diagram or, you know, something to basically show a person how one thing piggybacks and builds upon another, unless someone has been, you know, coming on these calls and, you know, listen to us talk about these things over and over and think about this, think about actually moving us forward as a people in a very methodical and logical fashion, you know, they're not going to get it. I think because of the hurdles people had to jump, I see you, Brother Leon, because of the hurdles people jumped through and the way that we've reached out to people from social media and all the different other avenues, you know, we found people who are very serious or people who are a bit more knowledgeable than the average person walking around. I mean, I really go around and I talk to folks. And, you know, we're talking about, so what do we need, you know, what do Black folks need and stuff. And everyone's like, no, Black people need unity. No, Black people need, you know, like a lot of intangibles. And I'm like, well, okay, cool, that's cool. But, I mean, no, I'm talking about, like, actually, let's say if we were able to unify, what would we do? And then people say things like, no, it'll just work out from there. I'm like, what? No, it won't. We would just be all together, you know, just all together. But, no, it would not work itself out. There needs to be a plan, and then there needs to be action. But and I realize if you go and, you know, if you go and you talk to people in general, that's like where they are about it. Like they feel the solidarity, they embrace the solidarity, but they do it like when it's convenient. But they're not going to take action. But you know the piece, you know the main component that I was really, really trying to communicate and that I was really trying to get across with this organization is that we need to create something that is effortless. We need effortless participation. I was in the barbershop the other day. We were sitting there. So this is when I was on the way to go meet with the sisters I was telling you with in corrections. And, you know, I'm talking right to the brothers about, you know, about what I'm about to go do and why I'm taking this route. Because the thing was, you know, I was, you know, standing in a barbershop, so I'm not dealing with these crackers. I'm not dealing with this bureaucracy. I'm going to do it like this, you know, start this organization, and I'm going to get watched. I'm going to find a bunch of Black people, and we're going to do it ourselves. So now I'm sitting in the shop talking about, well, you know, now I got to go meet the director of this and submit paperwork for this and try to get some money from these white people. But the bottom line is the people who actually know me and the people who are like, yeah, 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 not one of them has ever come on one of these calls. Not one of them has ever participated to do something. And I'm a person of influence, you know, around my people. I'm a person who can, you know, make things happen
right
with say so. But that can't be done for this. This is not something that you want to force on someone. This is something that they would have to discover. And they would have to embrace it on their own in their own time, because I really, really love the dynamic of the brothers and sisters that we have now. And you know, and I feel much more relaxed, much more at ease, because everyone is saying things, you know, but like you said, like-minded. If, you know, months ago, well, like, definitely last year, but you know, months ago, you'll have people were on the call and they just didn't get it. I didn't know. I don't know what they were here for, but they didn't get it. Now we have people who are here, and everyone gets it, and I'm good with that. And I realize that it's not going to be, you know, a mountain of people or an overwhelming wave of people at the onset. So I'm, you know, right now I'm at this point like, man, let it just take its time, and the people who, you know, the people who are really looking for this, they'll find us. And you know, and we just right continue having calls and waiting on them. Like, I mean,
that's good. That's good. I'm happy to hear that.
All right. So now we have Brother Leon and Brother Vaughn in the queue. Okay. Brother Leon.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be back again, brothers and sisters. And I was, what really, at one point I kind of listened to Brother Lou when you were, and this is something at a sale, when you was talking about that, having that facility where people come and get that experience. And now that's what you said a whole lot right there, because see, okay, now what that does is that That's something that's tangible that we can create. And now, guess what? As we create it, we can create it to be what we want it to be. And that's, I mean, so the experience they're going to get is the experience that we want them to get. That could be recruiting. That could be showing them history. But it could be that guy can say, look, I'm taking my family to the spot for the weekend, okay? And I'm taking my family to the spot to get educated on Black history, on true Black history. And it wouldn't have to be something that's way out there, just basic things, okay? But now, as it grows, by us having that one thing, it can grow. Next year, it could be a whole library on Black history. I'm just saying. But that experience, and people are coming into that. So I'm going here for that. I'd go from Texas to the East Coast with the family to get that experience, okay? So I just wanted to kind of expound on that because that will sell, okay? You'd be surprised what people do. Like right now, people on Sundays, they like to go to church, people just somewhere and have a movie, but a theater-type movie in an environment where it's a nice environment. You know, they come out of church, they go eat, they see a movie, a play, those type of things. So creating an environment like that would be something that we can educate. It could be something that's going on continually as we're doing what we're doing. That's going to be like a byproduct, but it's going to be somewhere somebody can come and just see, naturally come, participate. And now, you know what, somebody, you know what, I'm going to join that organization. Like, just like when you go in these little places, they try to get you to buy the time shares. You know what, we wouldn't force them, but they would see it, like the experience. And then at that point, they would become a member because the like-minded people, they're going to spend that money to get there. They probably like-minded people. When they see it, we give them something that they can give to their children, give back to the community, or become a part of. So I kind of like that when you said that.
Yeah, I thought about it, so, you know, I kind of have ideas and then I get excited and I'll start expounding on it, but I was trying to be respectful of the time. But no, I really think because they had another one. It was called Idlewild. I remember Sister Barbara. She's in Michigan, I believe. I know she's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she said that her family used to go to Idlewild, and Idlewild was like a Black enclave that was for entertainment. That's where Black folks went to like relax and like a resort. So if we go and we pick a little place. And then to make it like old school traditional, like maybe like in the 50s or something, like where there's an ice cream shop and the guy is wearing the bow tie and the white little suit and people are, being like over the top. That would be something to see. That would be something people would really, really just want to experience. You understand what I'm saying? And that, I think, I think that would be a really, really good way to go and start creating, something that would, be remarkable, and that would be for us. But obviously, white folks are super nosy. They will come, well, let's just go see what's going on. And, so there you go.
Okay. Yeah. But you do, though, when you said that, it'll touch on those same four areas that when I talk to the kids about, it'll touch on that. It'll give them access to knowledge, access to history, and access to seeing jobs being created by us. At the same time, the young kids that come along and they say, that's how they used to do it, real history, true history. So I just want to throw that in, okay, because these would be the attributes to something like that. It would give young people, okay, dad took me over there. Guess what, they won't tell us that, but I like that, okay, so I just throw that in, okay.
No, that's a good point. In fact, there was a family that I knew during the summer. And I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember this movie, but it was called The Learning Tree.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay, you remember The Learning Tree. Okay, the main kid, his name is Alex Clark, and I went to school with his sister. But his dad, their family already owned a motorhome, and they would criticize their parents for taking them up to the mountains, going up the coast. Because they had to go with their parents, right? And they were at that stage they wanted to be hanging out with the kids. But the very thing that you touched on, number one, it's exposure. Because many of our kids don't do what other kids do. They haven't been off the block. And then the second thing was, when they had their kids, guess what they did? They did the same thing their parents exposed them to. So it has a lot of validity to what you're talking about. Because I've seen it work.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, brother. And Brother Vaughn.
What's going on? I want to kind of elaborate on a couple of things that you were saying, like especially the resort for Black folks, because I done been to, I guess, basically all the resorts, you know, that they really have, and it's like they're not for us at all. Like it's nothing about them that, like, you go because it's the only place to go. Like, if you want that type of experience, you don't have to deal with it. But it's their experience, though. And it's like, in order to go do something relaxing, you feel like you're doing something, everywhere we go, it's they stuff. Like, and, like, I just, that is so, like, I feel like we need it so bad, because you can do stuff like you can have a spot that is, you can set up Black Wall Street, you know what I mean? And have it there. So when you go there, you get that experience. So people can see, like, damn, this is what they did. Oh, this is how they did it. This is how they were. Like, this really did happen. You know what I mean? And the people are made, like, how they really, like, did what they did. And you can show the experience and the housing and the whole community that they bought and how they was living it. You know what I mean? Like, the Black Panthers. And you can give that true experience of us, because one thing, like you were saying, like you when you talk to people and the responses you get, like I get those responses, but more than anything, I get it's so negative. Like how do we get positivity like among us? How do we get us to think positively about future and doing and being able to, you know what I mean, like collab and do things together? Like it's so negative. Like I talk to people, and when I be talking to them about, especially about Black Wallace Matt, oh my goodness, they don't, it's they see so like and they so ingrained in the negative side of anything dealing with us as a people. Like, you know what I mean, there's no. And these are people who, like, promised and did things and got stuff, and, like, it's like, wow, y'all, like, there's no, they have no faith, no, it's like they basically, you know what I mean, I'm where I'm at now, and I ain't going back, I ain't trying to see it again, and none of that, y'all, no positivity about nothing, it's all negative. And another thing, you were saying, the industry that we should attack, I think we should attack clothing.
I was thinking about it when I was saying it, but you know what the problem is with that. As I thought about it, most of us are really, really fashion conscious. So even though I'm not really like, you know, I'm not really fashion conscious, I'm not going to just wear anything though. Like I may look at the label and I might be like, nah, that looks good, but nah. You know what I'm saying?
That's the reason why. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why. Because like, on the reality of it, like, we really make these fashions. It's just
we don't have the,
you know, us that's doing it. We don't have it to do it ourselves so that we can put it out there. So, like, that's what I'm saying. If we was to get into that and, you know, really spread it, like, this is what it is, like, you'll get a lot of people that are, you know, stop with those other spots and doing that, like, because it's ours, you know what I mean? Like, and we can really do something. Like, it's a lot, like, just with clothing, like, sending a message, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot that you can do with clothing, like, because, like, I feel like we just need to see more positive stuff about us so that we can get a positive head. People can start thinking positively about life and thinking you can, because, boy, us as a people, we don't think we can do nothing.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, you know, not to jack the thing. So, I was, you know, talking to the brother. So we doing, you know, I've been telling everyone, you know, how we do the workshops, the anti-violence workshops in the schools. So we just started doing them on Rikers Island or whatever. What we did, so now we. So we teach in the workshops to, like, the predicate cutters, right? So these are the guys who's always cutting everybody in the hard heads, the live wire.
Right.
One of the things that we did was we had them anchor, right? We had them anchor on something that meant something to them. So most of them have, like, you know, children,
So they're thinking about, like, about their kids. Then you have some, you know, few, but you have some who they're really not bad kids. They just got caught up, right? And then what we did was we gave them like little challenges, but they were simple to accomplish. But it was just like just a little bit of challenge just to break them out of their shell. And we asked them to envision what their lives would be like if they didn't get in trouble or if they could have whatever it is that they wanted or needed to do with themselves, right? And we told them to keep that information for themselves. Then we said, now, imagine if the information or the next few things that you're about to hear or learn or whatever it is could help you get you to that positive image or to that person or that thing that you want or that you desire so much. That created, for the moment, for the remainder of our workshop, that created a change in the guys who are basically like the worst dudes in the jail. So right. when you're able to see a change like that, it's just a matter of posing it in the right way. So, for example, you're saying people are really, really negative, negative, negative. Well, what do people care about? So if you're able to go and provide jobs, guess what? You know, they no longer have that stress and whatever, that angst. They the frowny face, because you put food on their table, and now when you invite them to the company community picnic or whatever it is, they feel like they have a load lifted off their shoulders, and now they're more receptive to the message. So that, you know, and I realized that, and that's why, you know, that's why this thing was, you know, just 2,000 founding members. We get the 2,000 founding members, we create something, we do something. That is to create that proof element. We don't need to talk to people about the thing, because you're not going to really convince anyone. No. What has to happen is they have to witness. That's the kind of people that we are. We have to bear witness, and we have to feel something instinctively. And then once we feel, then we're able to, now we're more receptive to the message, and now we're willing to make changes or change our own behavior if necessary or if we want to. But you ain't going to force no black folks to do nothing, basically. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to really force them. You know, unless you have, like, massive authority. That's the only way you're going to do it. You have to have massive authority. You're not going to be able to just, you know, talk tough to them or beat them in the head, because we not going for it as a people.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Vaughn. Brother Leonard, is there anything you want to piggyback on that?
No, not at all. You've covered it sufficiently. I think that's great feedback. The only thing I do want to say, when they were talking about resort, how many people on the call, and we can just have everybody just chime in, have been to the African-American Museum in D.C.?
I haven't been there.
I was there I was in D.C. when they was building it.
But you haven't been to it since it's been open, right?
No, not yet.
I would encourage everybody on the call to experience it, take your children, and then it does a revitalization and re-energizes you personally as a person to see what our ancestors went through for us to have these type of calls and these type of opportunities. That's all I got.
Okay, thank you. Sister Mai. All right, thank you, Brother Vaughn.
All right, thanks.
All right, sister.
Hi. I was wondering if you have been to, or if anybody online has ever been to Prince George County or know about it in Maryland.
I do. A little swanky black enclave.
Yeah. So I wonder why we so you've been there or you just know about it?
No, I've been there. I've been there a bunch of times.
Okay. So what are they doing right, and what is it that
You got a bunch of black folks who got good government jobs. What do you mean?
A lot of them work inside the community too, right? Like a lot of the stores and businesses.
They have an economic base. You got Chocolate City right there to the United States. Like, so outside of major cities. Well, all right. So in major cities, black folks are seriously progressive. they are really, really progressive in cities because they get, like New York. New York is ran by black folks. Like the actual nuts and bolts of the way how, you know, all the stuff. Like I was telling the brother at the beginning of the call. All the people that we're meeting with in all these departments, the Department of Corrections, Department of, you know, Child Services, Department for the Department of, Department of Education, we're meeting with sisters. These are all sisters that are in these positions. The lieutenant governor of, I forgot what term of place this is, it's a sister. So black folks in cities are making money. So then what happens is they're like, okay, cool, we have a few dollars, and then we move to the suburbs. And now we start buying up the big houses and the whatever, whatever. And so that's essentially what you have. And you got to remember, too, that's in between two big major cities, right? So you have D.C. and Baltimore. So there's a lot of money floating over there. You know, so that's kind of like an anomaly.
Okay, so, but I would say it's working, right, in terms of it being, I mean, it was identified as one of the top 10 cities, and it's considered, you know, well, it does have the largest African-American population in that county out of any other in the United States. So I know, like you said, all of us can't up and move, and a lot of them may have government jobs, but in terms of duplicating, like I was saying, like, what is it that they're doing right? Your response was they all have government jobs, so is that, like, the only thing?
They have a source of money outside of the community. We've been having this discussion about, this is about the fourth time we've had this particular discussion. All right, so let me just say, I can't say it no plainer. There will not be a poof, like a black community will not poof out of nowhere. There will have to be money from somewhere. And since most black folks don't produce anything, they're going to get it from the service industry, or they're going to get it from their jobs. The good thing about it is black folks are really, really high up on the totem pole at some of these jobs. So you got people taking serious money, and then, you know, they're going to go spend their money. And, you know, we like to be around other folks. Like, we like to be around other black folks with money, you know, because then when you're in your backyard and, you know, and your snooty white neighbors are there and you break out the dominoes and, turn the music on, you know, you want to feel at home. It don't matter that you in a different tax bracket. So that's essentially the type of things that you have going on there. But like, you know, in the middle, it's like picking a place in the middle of the country, unless we have a way to get money there, it's not going to happen. There has to be a deliberate investment otherwise. And it's going to take a major investment. DeSoto, Texas is also another place, but it's right outside of Dallas. And there's a lot of money. I think it's outside of Dallas and, like, somewhere by, like, you know, in between maybe Austin or Houston. I don't know. Don't get me to lie. But DeSoto, Texas is another one of those places like that where it's affluent black folks. But they're getting the money from Dallas. You know?
Okay.
All right. Sister Rhonda. Hello?
No, Brother Lou, you answered the question. She said Prince George County. That's in Maryland, correct?
I lived
there before, but you answered the question. That's all right.
Okay.
I lived there too. That's okay.
All right. Well, then you know better, so then you know better than me. You know what I mean?
No.
You know better than me. Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you, Arundel Mills, is that not too far from there, right?
Right, it's not too far from there.
So they got casinos going up, nice hotels.
Yeah.
Nice, I mean, it's just money. It's just money. Yeah, when you ride down 295, you see, like, the off-ramp is to go into the NSA. The other one is to go to the Department of Justice. Like, I mean, it's... That's
right.
The government. You know what I mean?
Right. It's a big change there because, I mean, they even on the part of education, because one of my grandsons was going to school there, and there was a lot of difficulties, and they got rid of the superintendent there and sent him back to Philadelphia and got, so it's a lot of change. It's not the way it was years ago. Change. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sister.
Welcome.
Okay. There's no one else in the queue. Brother Leonard, do you have anything else you want to say? If not,
no, it was a good call.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
All right. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank everyone who participated on this call this evening. I want to thank you guys for coming to hang out with us, with Brother Leonard and I. We will we'll have another call. I guess it will be in August. It will be in August. Sister Mai wants to she wants to bring a topic to the floor. So maybe Sister Mai will be the one posing the questions and conducting the call. And if any of you other brothers and sisters have anything, especially founding members, if you guys want to have a topic you want to bring to the floor for these calls, because we haven't been having them every week. But if you have something you want to bring to the floor, send me an email and we'll put it together and you can have you can conduct a call as well. So I want to thank everyone for coming to hang out with us, and good night.
Good night, brothers.
Good night, brothers and sisters.
Good night.
Good night. Hey, Brother Lou. Yes. Brother Lou, this is Vaughn.
Peace, brother. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm going to keep you posted on how this goes with me.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you, so just give me a minute. I'm going to hit you up.
Okay.
Because I'm digging that, yeah.